Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on tonight. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City Chef,
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 Yeah,
Cabbie, Taj,
woo,
Connecticut, Took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped inside the kitchen, Thomas is alive. Sports City, what's going on? It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm with another show in front of this week. We got the Timeless Sunday Morning Brunch, and we are about to get into 120 minutes of that hot sports talk. Sports food for thought. They can do these dishes. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. And I must say, March is mad. Even myself, I cannot lie. After what happened over this past weekend, I'm extremely hot. But we will get into a lot of this stuff, a lot of the talk, a lot of the big news and notes that are going on around the sport world outside of NCAA basketball, which is king at the moment. I have calling in by way of the Colorado region of the United States. You guys know him as Eric G, a.k.a. Big Easy. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
What's up, my brother Timeless? I am feeling great this morning. Excited to be here at the brunch. Just like you touched on, we got a lot of great subjects to talk about this morning for our listeners out there. So, hey, let's not waste any time. Let's get everybody in here and get this grill going.
Yeah, so with that being said, I'm going to start off with probably the biggest news around the league, and it's outside of college basketball, and it's interesting that you are here to set this thing off. LeBron James is out indefinitely to a high ankle sprain suffered last night against the Atlanta Hawks. Now, at this point in time, I was on another network doing another sports show, and I did not see the injury. I didn't see any video or footage of the injury, but the way that it looked once I did see it, it did not look good. And, you know, he was down for a little bit. He actually got up to try to compete and got his 10th point and pulled himself out. Now, the crazy part about that is I am not going to lie. I wish LeBron the best of health. I actually want you to come back and be available for this team to see how far the Lakers can get. If you could push for an NBA championship again, then great power to you. That gesture for him to go out and score 10 points and score 10 points so he doesn't break the streak, just to not break the streak and they still end up losing, that's not helping you win the game by you just forcing up it. He just shot a three-point shot. They hit a three. Like that is a selfish gesture. LeBron, if you're hurt, you're hurt. I get it. You want to keep the streak alive, relevant. So if you're out, then it holds until you get back on the floor. Like, understandable. But that was a selfish situation. I mean, ultimately, like I said, health-wise, I want to see the best for you. I'm not trying to let karma come back and get me. But I'll let karma deal with your situation while you did that. And I want to see how the Lakers actually try to survive in this storm called the Western Conference without AD and now LeBron. So, Eric, your thoughts on the Lakers situation with this injury and as they move forward and hear more news about the timeline of how long LeBron will probably be missing time.
Well, you know what, Timeless? I've been telling you guys this for a while. I was extremely worried about this happening. How LeBron was playing this year reminded me just like how Kobe was, 2013, 2014. They had Nash, they had Howard, they were right up, they were number four, getting ready to go to the playoffs, two games away from the season ending, and Kobe Bryant was playing 38-plus minutes, MVP-caliber season, and then blows out his Achilles tendon and walks to the free throw line, takes his two shots, and then walks off the court realizing that he's done. And this now happened to LeBron James. Your body can't take, especially when you're up there in age. You know, he's 36. This happened to Kobe when he was 34. So your body can't take all that. When you're pushing that hard, night in, night out, something's got to give. And it did give. And just like you said, for him to keep playing like that, just to keep a streak going, you know, I'm just going to throw it out there. LeBron James is one of those guys. You know, he's all about the stats. He wants to be the greatest and all this. And that's why it doesn't matter in my eyes what LeBron James accomplishes with, you know, rings and all that. He's, to me, he's never going to be the caliber of players and on the level of Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. Just not going to happen, because they did what they were all about, the team and to win. LeBron's all about these accolades and this and that, and he's so worried about getting more rings than Jordan and this and that, and it's not going to happen. Don't get me wrong. LeBron James is a great basketball player, one of the best to ever do it, but his selfishness has now led to the Lakers being in a bad spot, and I'm going to put this right back out here. His selfishness of, oh, no, I'm a workhorse. I can play 38 minutes a game, no problem. I'm built for this. That's selfish. You got to do what's best for the team. The playoffs are what's important. You know, we've all talked about this. It really doesn't matter where the Lakers finish in seeding, because they're a whole different animal in the playoffs. So this is a huge blow. The Lakers are going to have to, I mean, Kuzma is going to have to step up big. Schroeder, Harrell, they're going to have to get massive production from these guys. Wesley Matthews is going to have to step up. You know, I like this kid they signed on a, you know, they extended his 10-day contract, Damian Jones. If they can get some more out of him, he's been a nice surprise. So this is really going to tell the Lakers team spirit and how they are as a team, if these guys can gel and stay in. But, yeah, LeBron James, he's out indefinitely. That's never good news when they say you're out indefinitely. And we all know high ankle sprains are worse than lower ankle sprains. So, you know, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, this is going to put Frank Vogel's coaching skills to the test here. So, you know, yeah, it's sad to see, but there is no reason for it. There is no reason for this guy to be playing 38-plus minutes a game, but he wanted to. He wants that MVP and all this, and if he was for the team, he would have backed off about that. The front office should have been pushing him more, like, hey, LeBron, we get it. We appreciate you wanting to do this, but it's not going to happen. We need you out there every game. So now they're stuck in this predicament because of it, and that's my take on this timeless.
Yeah. Now more than ever, I think this is a situation that, you know, Frank Vogel gets to prove if he is coach of the year or not. Now it's all about his abilities to put these X's and O's together, because AD's off the floor probably for another, well, his reevaluation is probably coming up within a week or so. I want to say within a week or two maybe, and then they'll see if they can get him back on the floor. But they can't play with this guy. His future is on the line, him being a young in the middle of his 20s, you know, trying to get out there and play ball. And exactly. We just seen what happened to Kevin Durant leaving Golden State and them actually forcing him to go out there and play ball. These guys are tall athletes, so their wheels are everything at the end of the day, and let alone a lot of LeBron's type of style of play is pressure and the way that he addresses going to the goal, things of that nature. I'll spill it to more. We do have more people in the building. Calling in from the Connecticut region of the United States of America, my nemesis, the villain, a.k.a. Barry J. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Villain, I'm here, you know, got the mask covering the raw flesh, the rather ugly brother with flows that's gorgeous. I'm in the building. How you doing, baby?
Doing all right. Just starting this thing up about the the LeBron injury heard around the world. And, you know, it's unfortunate that the Lakers are going to have to go forward. But I looked at another situation that happened within the injury. I was not watching it until I seen it in the midst of me being in another sports show that I conduct. And everybody was like, it didn't look good. It didn't look good. So when I watched it, I seen it happen. LeBron suffered the ankle sprain. He gets up and continues to compete, but he's hurting just to get a three-point shot up so he can knock down his 10th point and then comes off the floor. Now, I'm looking at that as a self-suggestion. Like, if you're hurting, you're hurting, bro. Like, and Eric brought up the situation where Kobe shot his two free throws after tearing his Achilles. It was a free throw shot. Like if he can stand up and knock down the shot, I get it because that was his free throw shot. But this is in the style of play. Like, okay, we're going to transition, get set up for a play, yada, da, da. And then it's like, well, LeBron's at the three-point arc, says knock down a three, he hits it, and it's like, bring me out of the game. It's like, wait, you're hurting, dude. Kobe's situation, the play was stopped. And if he could do it, and you see Kobe, you know, Kobe's situation, it was like, let me get to the sideline, get to the locker room, get out of here. LeBron's was like, well, let me save and secure a record that I got going on. So that makes me look at his scoring total and how he's trying to, I guess, eclipse Kareem, which is going to be possible if he continues to go out there and do what he needs to do. Then I look at the situation of him ring chasing, trying to catch Michael Jordan at least be at six because he's trying to get to five this season. Like, I think more or less a lot of this is along the lines of his resume on him trying to do self-goals, self-accomplishments. Which I understand, to go accomplish goals, you know, but this situation is more or less team-orientated, not LeBron-orientated. So I'm looking at this different. I know other people may feel differently about it, but your thoughts on the injury and, you know, the other situation that I am addressing.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw the injury. I heard about it yesterday. You know me, I'm not a LeBron fan. I don't really care. Everybody, like, all the kids are crying, you know, their heroes down. Like, you know, who cares? I mean, seriously, you know, it's a tough break. It's not a break, but, you know, it's a tough sprain, I guess you can call it. You know, Eric was right before, man. You know, Superman trying to put on the cape, you know, it's Lou Dool too old to be wearing that cape, man. You know, you gotta let somebody else do that, you know what I mean? So it kind of caught up with him, and you know, this wasn't an injury of, like, where Kobe was going hard and playing the point and playing heavy minutes and then eventually got hurt. This was just at, you know, near the beginning of the game, you know, somebody rolled on him and all that. I mean, so it's unfortunate. You know, I'm sure they'll be fine. They'll weather through and he'll be back. It'll probably hurt their chances of having a good position in the playoffs if it lingers for a while and they don't get AD back, which I didn't think he was going to come back right away. This could crush this team. This could crush their hopes because they're built around their two stars and they don't have their two stars. So, that could hurt them as well. As far as like, the ring chasing and the stat chasing, he's always been like that. I don't know why people are surprised. He's always been in that mindset ever since the decision. You know, I feel like what he does is motivated by, wanting to be called the greatest of all time. Everything he does is to that end. I think, you know, it was a different kind of animal with Kobe and Michael and Magic and stuff like that. I think LeBron, you know, kind of seeks that attention and wants that for himself. It's a goal. It's a personal goal. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think it's just a different mentality that we're used to seeing. So, I mean, to have that kind of – bless you, Rick. To have that kind of my wife's in the back. To have that kind of mentality, like, of, you know, wanting to, you know, be proclaimed the king, if even before you stepped on an NBA court, that's always been his mentality.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Now, am I going to, with what you're saying, TP, am I going to say that's what he was doing? I'm not going to go there yet. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And I honestly, the way you describe it makes me think, like, this is the guy that wanted to be proclaimed the king. Like, I have to bow down to you, even though you hadn't stepped on the court, you hadn't won a championship, you know what I mean? Now, you know, it makes your hindsight look 20/20 because you're almost to that level, but, you know, this is the guy that we were proclaiming King James before he got on the court. So, it is what it is, but, I mean, just for the Lakers, you know, we're going to see if the coach that they hired is the right coach. If Vogel can weather the storm and get these team, at least 500. I mean, that's at least what you're asking for. It'll be a tall task to have a winning record. If it could be 500 and kind of weather the storm until one of the stars come back, that would be nice. But, I with the talent they have and the way they were playing before that, I don't know. We'll see. So we'll see.
I agree. I know everybody that plays the Lakers are going to give them their A game to see how they measure, especially at being at this point in the season going into the month of April. But I don't know if they hang on to 500. Even with the pieces that Eric mentioned, these guys are basically all shooters, including Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
There is no post play other than Montrezl Harrell. Montrezl Harrell is their lone post player other than Mark Gasol, and Mark Gasol is now a perimeter shooter. He does not want to play that post at all. He may go down there and get a rebound or two, but he is not going down there to risk it all or put his back to the basket. I remember last week he fouled out and was heading for the bench after fouling out. He didn't give anybody any handshakes. It was not like he was injured. He was exhausted. He wanted to sit down. Now this is a situation where this team is going to have to carry without their two megastars and LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And like I said, I may be wrong. Lord, forgive me if I'm saying the wrong thing, but with him trying to force up a jump shot in a set play or in a set transition just to get your 10th point to get out of the game, that's absolutely selfish. I don't care what anybody says. LeBron, I get what you're saying. I understand you want to keep that team going.
Hey, I got one more thing, Timeless. Hey, can I just throw this out there real quick? This right here, I mean, the Mark Gasol experiment has been a complete and utter failure. The worst decision the Lakers have ever did was letting Dwight Howard go when he wanted to come back and trading JaVale McGee. If they had them two right now, or at least one of them, they'd be in a lot better shape. But like you just touched on, other than Montrezl Harrell and, you know, the newcomer Damian Jones, they don't have much. So this is going to be a problem, a big problem, because just like you said, these are all shooters now. So they're going to have to find a way to win. I don't know if they try to, you know, the Andre Drummond, if they try to go after him. We don't know what's going on in that situation quite yet. Bringing in DeMarcus Cousins wouldn't really help. I think Drummond would be their best bet at this point in time because they need help down there in the paint.
You're right. TP, so the 10 points, right, the 10 point, is that so he could have X amount of straight games with in double figures scoring? Was that the record? Okay. I mean, not surprised. So I mean, listen, I agree with you, TP, 100%. I think it was if that was the motivation, it's completely selfish, and you know, it's just another.
Yeah, he left the game right after that. He left the game right after that.
Wow. I mean, it's another thing to talk about. I mean, honestly, to be totally honest, like it wasn't natural. It wasn't in the flow of the game. It was to keep the streak alive. So, I mean, I agree with you, TP. If that's the case, I don't like it. I really don't.
So now it goes to go along with how long he's playing. And I get it. Yeah, I'm going to play until my son comes around. It's like, okay, are you playing until your son comes around, or you're trying to get every last little bit of point to catch Kareem, which I think he will end up eclipsing him and so on and so forth. What does he have to prove to play alongside with his son? I mean, it's cool to see it when you see, like, Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. do it, but it was like a different era in the 80s when the kid came out. You know, it wasn't like, LeBron James and his son is on, you know, Ball Is Life or YouTube videos and, you know, being publicized more as possible. LeBron's son is a good player, but he's not as good as his father. He's not going to come fresh out of high school or be a one and done. I think the only reason that he'll be a one and done is because he's LeBron's son. Like, he's not one of these gaudy guys that's killing play down there in Sierra Canyon. He's playing in Nevada right now. Like, we'll see him on a public spectacle when it's his time to go out there and do his thing. I don't think he's a one-and-done player. I think that if LeBron looks at this best, if you're starting up schools like I promised, you would want your son to go out there to get a degree. I think you would want him to finish school, not just rush him there so you could accomplish another personal goal. To put something like, we're the first father and son duo to play on a basketball court. and the NBA will do that because they can put millions and millions of dollars behind that game if LeBron's son is on the Lakers with them or on another team against them and they play against each other, and that'd be the cool thing. Like, I get it. I understand it, LeBron. Now with what I seen last night, I totally look at everything that you're doing right now differently. And it's taking it away from a lot of the players.
I couldn't agree with you more, TP. I really do. And it's like, it's hard for me because I'm a hater to really pile on. But it's like, if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, you know what I mean? Like, I agree with you, brother. Like, it's cool to want to play with your son. And as a father, I get it. You know what I'm saying? But, like, what's the motivation? Is it so that you can have another feather in your cap that nobody else can say? Like, Jordan can't say that, right? Bird can't say that. Magic can't. You know what I mean? Like, is that the motivation, or is it really because of the love of the game and yourself? Like, I don't want to, you know, bring your family in. It's kind of touchy, but it's like, you know, at this point, like, you're bringing up such a valid point. Like, you got to question. You have to question it.
I'm not doing this out of hatred at all. I'm doing this as a what I
see.
No,
I am. I am.
I know. I'm
and this is all facts, because this guy is not a team player. He proved that with the decision, ooh, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach. You know, created this whole ESPN was on that like a trout on power bait. Yes, let's put this on live TV and get everybody all hyped up on the edge of their seats. That was the most ridiculous things I've seen in all of professional sports right there. That is the most, I mean, come on. Glory, look at me. I'm LeBron. I'm going to Miami. I can't win a ring here in my hometown, so I'm going to have to go with a ready-made team. It's just ridiculous. Him going to the Lakers, folks, I saw how he was, and I remember my mom's a diehard Laker fan, basketball fan, and I remember telling her 8 years ago when he left and went back to Cleveland, I was like, I can guarantee you LeBron James is going to be a Los Angeles Laker at some point. And bam, it happened. He wants that notoriety. Now he's like, look, I'm on one of the greatest sports franchises in history of sports, and me, look at me, my team. When he did his little speech for Kobe Bryant, you know, out there after Kobe died, and he's like, yeah, it's my responsibility now. It's like, no, you'll never. That's never going to be the case. That's Magic, Kareem, Worthy, Jerry West, George Mikan, Jamal Wilkes, Kobe Bryant. You're never going to be what these guys meant to the Lakers. It doesn't matter. This guy, you know, my daughter, born and raised a Lakers fan, and this guy tells her at school, oh, you're only a Lakers fan because of LeBron James. And she's like, shit, screw LeBron James. I've been a Lakers fan since birth, and Kobe's her man. Like, it's like, get out of here with that. And that the Lakers fans are never going to embrace him like that. You know what I mean? It's never going to happen because it's all for him. It's not for the team. It's not for the organization. And he proved that last night. He proved it. Take me out. I got my 10 points now. Now take me out. I mean, it's ludicrous. So he's always been about himself. I'm never going to bow to the king. He could pass Kareem all he wants. I still don't put him as a dominant player like Kareem. These players see the difference between LeBron James and them. These guys were absolutely lights out clutch. Who are you going to give the ball with if you have 2 seconds left? You have Michael Jordan, you have Kobe Bryant, or you have LeBron James. I don't see anybody picking LeBron James because he has not proven to be that type of clutch player ever in his career. People fear Jordan and Kobe like, oh, my God, we're going to lose. These guys are going to get the ball, and we're going to lose. And they showed you time in and time out. Boom, game over, game-winning shot. 4 people in their face, no problem, game over. And LeBron James has never done that. LeBron James hasn't taken over games like these players have. Kareem, Jordan, Kobe, Magic, you know what I mean? These guys were absolutely dominant. And LeBron James could score all he wants and do this, but he's never, in my eyes, going to be on those players' level. He just hasn't. And he's proven it this year when the Lakers are down. Here we go. Like, when the Lakers were down, I would never trip. When Kobe was on the team, we got 2 minutes left. No problem. We're coming back. He's going to take the team on his back. We're coming back. LeBron James tries to do it. Oh, missed three. Oh, missed shot. And he's shown that. So, yeah, he's a great player, but he is not a guy that you're like, oh, God, LeBron James is going to have the ball with 2 seconds left. It's not a worry. I would put Kevin Durant or Steph Curry even before him in that situation because they've proven they can hit some shots like that. LeBron James has not done this.
I'm gonna move away from this because this is an interesting subject, and I know this can get heavy, and I know how I feel about it, especially when I heard about the news about it.
I just want your guys' opinion. When you got Jordan and Kobe and LeBron James, is LeBron James ever getting the ball with 2 seconds left?
No. I mean, to be fair, he has better numbers in the clutch than those guys, but I trust the killer instincts.
Exactly.
That they want the ball in their hand, and they know unless it's the basketball play that, you know, they're going to take that shot, and, you know, they'll live and die with that kind of decision. It's just a different mentality. I mean, and I'll just say one thing, TP, and I'll kind of move away. And it's like, it's easy to pile on because I agree with a lot of what he's saying. Like, I think real Laker fans don't see LeBron as a Laker. I think they see him as a guy that plays for the Lakers. I think, like, you know, Magic and Kobe are the greatest Lakers. And then you got, you know, there's a lot of great Lakers. Jerry West,
Kareem.
Will Chamberlain, James Worthy. Yeah. There's a lot of great Lakers. Kareem. Kareem was a buck, too. So, you know, we got to be fair. But I think LeBron has grown up from the decision. I think that was the worst thing he ever did in his career. I think he's grown a lot since then, and he's a better person for it. To have that kind of, you know, I think he embraced being the villain in Miami, and that's not him. And I think he's a better person for it. I think he's, from then till now, I think he's grown up and learned from that. But, I just echo what you were saying, TP. I think, you know, there's a level of selfishness that, you know, he kind of exudes. And it's not selfish in a winning way. It's selfish in a personal way, you know. So yeah, that's all. I mean, I just got to be fair because I can hate on him all day just because he didn't choose my Nick. So that's where the villain gets his hate from. But you know, whatever.
It's not hate when it's facts, brother. You know what I mean? I know you don't like him, but these are bona fide facts, and these are him showing us what type of person he really is.
Okay, I'm going to get moving from this because I know we could continue to add on to his situation. And believe me, from what I saw last night, it like I tried my best to stay away from like trying to nitpick at LeBron. I'm not that nitpicker, but I know there's a lot of LeBron fans. As soon as I say something, they get mad that I say something addressing his situation. It's like they're so defensive for him. But with that being said, it was like I couldn't overlook the fact that he did that to just keep the streak going, and you're hurting. And what does that do? Because
lost. Do that to help the team win. Screw your streak. If you're going to stay in, then stay in to help the team pull off a win. Don't be like, oh, okay, I'm good now. I got the 10 points. Now I'm coming out. This is a fact, Timeless. So, you know, LeBron James, great basketball player, one of the greatest of all time. But you can't ignore the facts here. That was one of the most selfish things I've ever seen. And I'm a Laker fan. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, did this really happen? Now you're going out because you got the streak? That's all you cared about keeping alive? I mean, come on, man. How about helping the team win?
That's what I'm saying. If that shot was to be a setup play to game win and everybody was covered and nobody was able to take the shot and you hit the three and then walked up the floor, I'd respect. You're the king. You're the king. With you hitting a shot that had no relevance early in the game and just to get your 10 points so you can walk off the floor, you do the math. Man, that's crazy. And I just don't want to spend too much time on LeBron because, of course, he's an awesome player. Of course, he's a great player. And, like, between choosing if he's dominant or a late game shooter, I wouldn't actually invest my time in him taking a shot. He's trying his best to put his name in that discussion, and it's like, I get it. It's like you've seen, you know, Kobe try to push himself in the light of Michael Jordan, and, you know, LeBron's not saying it, but he's doing a lot of things to try to catch or eclipse Michael Jordan. It's like, what are you telling me you're doing? Are you trying to catch Kareem? Are you trying to catch Michael Jordan? Like, what is your ultimate goal? Are you trying to be the best in the NBA history, which I feel like you can be in that discussion, but I'll wait to see how this pans out. But a lot of this stuff right now that I'm looking at, this is all personal agenda / hidden. So I'm away from it. And on the other side of the court from the Los Angeles Lakers was the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks did win this game. And here goes the crazy part about this. Ever since the Hawks made their firing of that head coach, Nate McMillan has taken over the responsibilities. The Hawks are now 8-0 since the firing. The Hawks are on fire right now, including knocking off a Laker team. Unfortunately, LeBron suffered an injury. But this is interesting that the Hawks are actually turning this thing around after watching, you know, the roster actually make a storm about the coach. And, McMillan actually taking over after his firing up in Indiana. I want to see how you guys feel about this. The Atlanta Hawks are now trying to make a strong, relevant run at this postseason. Barry, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on this 8-0 run that they're off to?
I mean, it's about time because we kind of been saying it. This is a good basketball team, and, you know, they had some nice pieces that they brought in already with Trae Young, and then they brought in Rondo and Gallo and some other pieces. You know, they spent money in the offseason, and they just got off to a horrific start, and now they're starting to pull it together. So I'm happy to see it. I think they can make some noise out there and really kind of upset the, you know, I guess what you say, the apple core or whatever is going on out there. I think the key to them is the defense. Can they kind of keep that defensive mentality moving forward? Because I think they've played some good teams, and you know they held the Thunder, they have the Cavs. I mean some decent teams. You know the Heat under 100 points. But, you know, getting quality wins, too. I mean, beating teams you're supposed to beat is good, like the Thunder, the Rockets, the Cavs, the Kings, and the Raptors. But now you got to do that now. You got the Clippers coming up soon. That's your next game. I think that's, if you want to really be taken seriously, those are games you have to start winning. And I think, you know, once they kind of get there, I think they'll make some noise. But, like I said, this is a team that, that should have been good. That should have been, really a force in the East. Not a force, but I mean a team that can make the playoffs in the East and make that leap from out of the playoffs last year to into the playoffs. So, you know, Trae Young's got to be Trae Young, but I look at guys like Clint Capella that's got to, step up too and make them, make them a more consistent team on a night in and out of basis.
Okay, Eric, your thoughts on the Hawks? I mean, you actually got to see this firsthand up against the Lakers. Them pulling off their 8th straight win as soon as Coach Lloyd got fired. Your thoughts on them in the Eastern Conference trying to turn this thing around and make them relevant on the chase for at least 10th or up in the Eastern Conference? Can they get there and have a play-in game and make the playoffs also?
Absolutely, Timeless. And I'm just going to throw in another shot here on our inside joke. The night when we heard the dynasty talk, this was my team that I was throwing out there to him, being like, if you want to throw a team that could be a dynasty in the next 5 years, look at the Atlanta Hawks. They're loaded with talent. John Collins, Trae Young, Hooter. They got Bogdanovic now, Solomon Hill, Rondo, Gallinari, Capella, Tony Snell. These are all some of the names I mentioned are superstars in progress, potential to be superstars. And these other players are good role players. They're loaded from top to bottom. Nate McMillan, the best thing they could have done, and we talked about this, Timeless, Nate McMillan is a defensive-minded coach. These guys are going to be fine. They're playing defense. They held the Lakers to 94 points. This team is just going to excel. John Collins had an absolute dominant game, 27 rebounds, or 27 points, 16 rebounds, 3 blocks. So this is a team that is going to continue their climb. Nate McMillan, in my eyes, is a really good coach and a great coach for young players. He's a former player, so he has what it takes. He's been on some really good teams, good playoff experience. And I think he's in the right spot now, gentlemen. I think Nate McMillan has finally found a home where he can build on. And I think the Atlanta Hawks are just going to get better and better by year, especially if they can keep these players together. Because, like I mentioned, they got a lot of good young core players. And this team's just going to continue to climb, Timeless. This isn't a shock to me. It was a shock to me that they were where they were because they, you know, showed signs last year. Okay, the goal is to improve every year. And they kind of started off a little hot and then fell flat. So now we're seeing what this team is capable of with a good leader behind the helm, especially defensive mind guy. Trae Young, this hopefully will elevate his, you know, turn him into a leader, get him more acclimated, and learning from a former point guard in Nate McMillan. So I think this is a really good fit. I do believe the Atlanta Hawks will beat the Clippers because that's another team that is wishy-washy in my eyes. If you're asking me the top 3 to 4 teams in the Western Conference, I'm not putting them up there, so I'm not sold on them. But great win for the Hawks, even LeBron was out, because the Lakers still have a pretty good team even without him. So they had to shut down and play good defense, and they shut these shooters down, and they came up with the win. But definitely look for these guys to continue to climb and be there in the final 8 spot come playoff time, folks.
And with them surging, they are now sitting at 5 in the Eastern Conference. With that being said, they made a hell of a storm to get back into this thing and sit in the midst of this while other teams are trying to find or figure themselves out, eclipsing the likes of the Boston Celtics. And I really don't want to pick on the teams that else, you know, are under them as well with the Knicks and the Hornets, because both of them are trying to find their identity and staying in the top 8 to 10, if you will. But for them to push this hard and have the Boston Celtics sitting at 8 under 500, the Hornets are a young team, so I'm not really picking on them. This is interesting in the Eastern Conference to see how these guys are playing or moving forward. But just like you said, I question that. Eric, just a little pushback on Trae Young being a leader. I don't think he's a leader. He's just the scorer on that team and a notable face that a lot of, you know, the media are enamored with Trae Young being that guy. But I think the leader is now solely in the hands of the head coach. Shout out to the former Seattle Supersonic, Nate McMillan. I love every last bit of that. But just to see them hang there. And looking at 9 and 10, it's the Pacers and the Bulls. The Raptors and the Wizards are sitting behind that, too. This is a very interesting race. Finally, it's become interesting in the Eastern Conference, where usually we're used to seeing 6 through 8 with heavy records under 500. It is now a race, and it's looking cool now to look at Eastern Conference. Just to get that out there. Okay, so I've been sitting on this for far too long. I've been addressing other situations as best as I can. But now we are in the month of March, as you guys know, and this is the bottom half of March. We're getting close to April, and this is potentially the first day of spring that we're jumping into pretty soon. So spring is here. And with that being said, we've just gotten through the first round of college basketball within the tournament. And let me tell you, it has been nothing but maddening. And I went on a rant on the other network, and you know, I've been talking about Big Ten play and, Pac-12 play, and there's another conference, or the ACC. And the Pac-12 has actually showed me wrong. They've actually come out the gate and basically ran the table. Nobody suffered any loss. The Pac-12 has actually basically heard me and addressed two of the games in which they went up against the Big East. The Big Ten is the bone that I have to pick because it's affected me sure-handedly in my bracket. And, yes, I'm doing the LeBron James. I'm getting personal. I'm doing this for my agenda, you know. But Ohio State, and this is why I was picking on the Big Ten, and I could go all across the board, and I know I'm not around the people that were in the conversation that I've been with discussing the Big Ten, because a lot of the people that are in that Big Ten or fans of the Big Ten weren't looking at the same perspective that I was looking at. You have Michigan State, who is always a notable powerhouse team within the Big Ten, have a play-in game up against a UCLA team that does not have an identity. You guys are up. And with the players on that team to disrespect Coach Tom Izzo to the point where you guys were about to fight. It wasn't even an incident where, like, they had an altercation. He was pointing in the face of Tom Izzo, like, don't touch me, don't talk to me, slap Tom Izzo's hand and walk back into the locker room. They are going into the locker room at halftime with a lead. Sheer disrespect to the point that they ended up losing that game at UCLA, and the momentum shifted in the midst of that. Then you have a situation where Ohio State, I'm not going to lie, I did not watch enough basketball on Oral Roberts. I did not. But in my bracket, I'm like, okay, Ohio State should be able to come out the gate because they have been ranked top 10 all season long because they were talking about, quote, unquote, the Big Ten having the best play in college basketball. They come out here and lose to Oral Roberts. I find it hard, yeah. And I may be brutal, and I could be wrong, that if Oral Roberts advances after this round, if they do, this is a Cinderella slipper that you must watch if they get to a Sweet 16. And I get it. Your confidence is there. Anything can happen. But for Ohio State to be ranked as high as 3 or 4 this season and lose to a team from a smaller conference, I question heavily the Big Ten. Now, Iowa came out and did their thing. You know, Maryland did their thing as well, you know, within the Big Ten. But there's question marks there. I'm not buying this. At the end of the day, Illinois, I feel like, is the stronger team that could advance. Michigan, too. But I feel like if Michigan runs into a strong team, they could actually fall apart, especially where they started simmering down and breaking down at the end of the season also. The ACC clearly has some teams and some issues there with North Carolina suffering a loss and Virginia Tech as well. But my question still remains within some of these power conferences where they get the notoriety because of what you're used to seeing year by year. And not what's going on at hand at this point in time right now. So I can actually pass that around the board. I do want to get to these scores as best as I can. I'll come to you first, Barry. I mean, your thoughts on the discussion that I'm addressing. I'll get to Eric, and then I'll start going over the scores. Your thoughts on the conferences that get this notoriety but don't really stand up to the call, especially when the lights are on.
So, you know what, I talked to you about this, and I said I picked totally against the Pac-12 because I had no respect for them. And what did I say after that? I said, I know it's going to bite me in the butt. And what happened? Bit me right in the butt because they won their games. And that's the beauty of March Madness. Now, for Oral Roberts, I mean, I agree with you. Listen, Ohio State had no business losing that game. You know, they're the better team. They've been ranked in the top 5 from most of the year. There's no reason that they lost that game, but I'll give you 2 reasons why they lost that game. Max Adams and Kevin O'Banner. He's the leading scorer in the nation, and I think nobody really had any kind of respect on his name because he's playing in a smaller conference and not against, you know, those big teams, especially in a COVID year. So I think what COVID did this year, not only it started to sideline some teams and sideline some games, but you're talking about big schools that didn't get to play these smaller schools, and guys like Max Abrams, or I might be saying his name wrong, but we didn't get to see him against a bigger school for most of the year, so we didn't see him. We saw him against his own talent, against his own conference. And they were kind of off to the side until the last week or two when they had their conference tournaments and we started to kind of, you know, get announced as, hey, this kid can play, this kid can score. Kevin O'Banner's a good sidekick. They can score. They combined for almost 60 points against Ohio State. So that's kind of the good and bad. These smaller schools don't get to play these big dogs, but then a lot of times you don't have much on them against a big conference school that you can kind of lean back on and say, this is what we can do against them, blah, blah, blah. So it's a total unknown, and it's a factor that kind of led to a lot of these upsets, like Oral Roberts, North Texas. I actually picked North Texas to beat Purdue because I didn't like Purdue at all. I didn't like what I've seen from them all year. I thought they were in the Big Ten. They were, like, middle of the pack. I didn't really believe in them. And they proved me right, so I got that one right. But so the first day I did good. The second day, you know, I mean, like I really kind of crapped the bed. So, but that's what you're seeing: UConn and Georgetown taking big L's. You know, March Madness is crazy. It's a great time of the year. Another takeaway that I had, TP, Syracuse is not a double-digit seed. The fact that they were an 11 seed is kind of a joke to me. They handled San Diego State with ease. And I, you know, I don't know if they win today against West Virginia, but they're not an 11 seed. And I think the committee got that wrong. So, but hey, listen, a lot of good games the first 2 days. It's the fun of March Madness to take your bracket that you looked at and thought was perfect and then just rip it up and throw it in the garbage because it's pretty much a wrap. So that was my takeaway. And I agree with you. The Big Ten, we don't believe you. We need more people.
Eric, your thoughts thus far on at least the conferences that we mentioned I know you're an ACC guy. You may have some pushback. But the ACC, my biggest thing is with the Big Ten and the Pac-12, but the Pac-12 actually stood up strong and did not lose. But I want to see how they look outside of the first round. And, you know, just some of the power conference play before I start to dig into some of these scores. And I guess the biggest shock so far with Ohio State losing to a 15, that's incredible out the gate.
that is incredible, Timeless, because, you know, on our last show I was telling you, and you weren't sold on it when I was telling you that, and you obviously knew something because Ohio State was one of my teams that I thought could, do some damage in this tournament, get in there and maybe get into the Final Four even. So this is a huge, shocking loss. It just showed me that they were highly overrated. The conference is overrated, and when you lose to a team like that, it shows who you really are because you can't be ranked that high and go in and lose into a team like Oral Roberts. Now, if they win their next game, then we can start saying, okay, maybe this team is, like you said, a Cinderella or better than, you know, we thought. So, but this is March Madness. Anything can happen. You always have these teams, these little schools that get in and make some noise. So to that part is not shocking. It's just shocking that it happened to be Ohio State. Another game that stuck out to me is right here in Colorado, the Buffaloes making easy work of your Hoyas. I know that was a heartbreaking loss. I didn't expect that myself. I thought the Hoyas were going to win. But all the Pac-12 guys seemed to get out of there alive, USC, UCLA. So it's going to be interesting to see. My bracket is already busted, you know, due to a few things, but the Georgetown and the Ohio State, thank you very much. it's fun. So it's going to be fun to watch. Of course, my Tar Heels, they got bounced out by Wisconsin, you know. They're pathetic in my eyes, you know. So the ACC is definitely not what it is normally this year. This was definitely an off year for them. So, Duke, the same thing. These guys aren't the powerhouses like they used to be. Granted, I do think they'll be back. They're good schools. They're well coached. They got two of the best coaches ever to do it. So I think those two teams will be fine. But other than that, man, it's a shocker so far. I'm excited to see how this plays out.
Okay, so I'll get into these scores quickly and then get right back into the discussion. Friday is when everything's set off. We're used to seeing this happen on a Thursday, but due to the state of the pandemic, I see the pushback that they've had. Speaking in which to the Big Ten, this is the first team that I'm giving credit, and I feel like can run as far as getting to the national championship. Illinois takes care of business up against Drexel, 78-49. Baylor wins their matchup 79-55 up against Hartford. Houston wins their matchup up against Cleveland State, 87-56. Oral Roberts with the upset of the tournament thus far, 75-72 in overtime, up against a 21-10 Ohio State, and they're ranked second. Like, come on. Okay, the next matchup I have, Arkansas winning their matchup up against Colgate, 85-68. Oklahoma State winning their matchup up against Liberty, 69-60. West Virginia winning their matchup up against Morehead State, 84-67. The game that Barry spoke on, Syracuse knocking off San Diego State, which San Diego State was on an interesting run this season at 23-4, pushed them to 23-5, winning this matchup 78-62. Buddy Boeheim out of nowhere goes for 30. the next matchup I have, and I'm stopping right here real quickly just to get this one off. Loyola Chicago wins their matchup up against Georgia Tech, and they are playing, they're cheating. Loyola Chicago is cheating. They're at an unfair advantage. They have a rabbit foot in their back pocket or a horseshoe or a boomerang. I don't know what they're using or a cross, but the lady that she's 101 years old, and she's been at every one of Loyola Chicago's games, and they've been successful, I want to at least say for the past year or so, when she attends, and I don't even call that a Cinderella slipper. I think she just got a VIP pass, and the Loyola Chicago's been able to push through and knocking off Georgia Tech and winning that game by 11. But Georgia Tech had an unfortunate situation with a player on their team suffering an injury that held them out. Moving right along, Villanova takes care of business up against Winthrop, 73-63. North Texas with another upset up against another Big Ten team, winning this game 78-69. Where I clearly had Purdue in every one of my brackets winning this one, and North Texas stunned them. Texas Tech taking care of business up against Utah State 65-53. Florida winning their matchup up against another ACC team 75-70. Oregon State, a shocker, winning this game up against Tennessee, even though Tennessee has not played good basketball to the tail end of their season, and this is coming to show with them losing by 14 in this one, another Pac-12 win. Wisconsin wins their matchup up against North Carolina 85-62, in which I have not seen the shooting like this out of the first day, but then the next day came around and the same thing happened to a team that I love so much, but it broke my heart. But North Carolina losing this game by 23 up against Wisconsin, and Wisconsin played terrible. I don't even know what the committee was up to putting Wisconsin in the tournament. Wisconsin played horrible at the tail end of this season, got in and showed why they should be in the tournament. Rutgers wins their matchup up against Clemson, another Big Ten versus ACC matchup, 60-56, and didn't get good play out of Ron Harper Jr., but they did just enough to get these Scarlet Knights ahead to win this game up against Clemson. Yesterday's matchups were Iona going up against Alabama. I thought that Rick Pitino could do it. Alabama is surely showing that they still have that willpower and that fire to go. They win this game 68-55. Stopping Pitino at the first round. Iowa wins their matchup up against Grand Canyon, 86-74. Luka Garza, still to me, is probably the Naismith Player of the Year, unless Kate Cunningham puts on an interesting run. Another shocker, Abilene Christian, which was mentioned on the other network, that a lot of people were pulling for Abilene Christian to pull this off on Texas. They win by one up against Texas. I am watching this closely. I really love and respect Shaka Smart. He may be on the move if he gets back to Texas and is not welcome. So I'm watching this very closely. Kansas takes care of business 93-84 up against Eastern Washington. Florida State wins their matchup up against UNC Greensboro 64-54. Another shocker, stunner, Cinderella slipper fitting. Ohio knocks off Virginia. Another ACC team falling 62-58 from the Ohio team. Incredible run that they're on right now. A 13 CV and a 4. Creighton goes down to the wire, winning this matchup up against UC Santa Barbara, 63-62. And like I said before, when I was talking about North Carolina, the game that broke my heart at the beginning of the day was Georgetown losing to Colorado, 96-73, in which just to see Georgetown go on an interesting run in the Big East, it brought me back to like, okay, we're back. And they get into this game, and it's like, I'm back to me talking about Patrick Ewing coaching. Like, how do you watch so many three-point shots get launched and you not address that? These guys were knocking down wide-open threes. They weren't even contested. Like, it was a scrimmage. It was a scrimmage, and clearly Colorado out-coached Patrick Ewing. I mean, the talent is there. These players have to go out there and play. But X and his old wives, they were shooting free-throw three-points. Like it was a given game. Shout-out to Colorado. I tip my hat because I clearly was talking about the Pac-12. All of the Pac-12 teams succeeded. I think they heard. But with them beating up on Georgetown like that and watching that barrage of 3 points being shot, they almost scored 100 points like that. Incredible. Even with the bench play, they still were knocking down threes. Georgetown was gutted. They were gutted. And Patrick Ewing, if you're going to continue to coach, you got a lot of work to do. Yeah, you won the Big East tournament, but that's not enough. You're the bet. You're the bet in Vegas when I look at this score like this. That's incredible. Let me keep moving. And this one shocked me, but this is the higher seed one. LSU beat St. Bonaventure 76-61. I was impressed with LSU's play because I thought the Bonnies would come out and win. St. Bonaventure has been playing good. out here in their respective conference, and they had a, you know, a short-end season due to this loss up against LSU. Michigan wins their matchup up against Texas Southern, 82-66. USC beats Drake, rounding out a lot of what I mentioned about the Pac-12, 72-56. Maryland beats UConn, 63-54. Oklahoma beats Missouri, 72-68. Gonzaga beats Norfolk State, 98-55. People, this is interesting. It's going to be odd to see somebody put up a good fight up against Gonzaga, which I know this is the tournament that it will happen, right? This team has beaten everybody by double digits, I think, for the past 2 or 3 months now. Like, they are not letting you stay around them, in which the way that the game started, Norfolk State hung around. As soon as Gonzaga saw a lead, they did not look back. The spread was 32.5 in Vegas. One of my friends said, I'm betting Norfolk State. There's no way that they can cover that. There's a lot of points. I'm like, there's a lot of points, but I wouldn't even touch it because Gonzaga can score. This is my exact words. That Gonzaga can score, I wouldn't touch it because that's a lot of points to try to watch them eclipse, and then if they're up 27, they just won't get 32 and just, you know, just watch the clock run out. They were up 40-some-odd points and win this game by 43. Gonzaga, it's going to be a tough team. They're going to have to knock them up. We'll see, but things have gone crazier. The Pac-12 play, also UCLA wins their matchup against BYU, 73-62. And this one hurt my heart really bad. Oregon succeeds to go forward due to a postponement / forfeit to VCU. They moved to the second round. One player from VCU was traced positive with the coronavirus, and VCU misses out on it. This is so heartbreaking because you could just imagine them suiting up and getting ready for the game, and then next thing you know, one player just catches the coronavirus, and it's like, it's over. And we worked so hard, whether we won our conference championship or played enough for the committee to consider us. And we can't make this up. We can't wait for 2 weeks for them to go on and play that. This is a very unfortunate situation. And then thinking about the kid that got caught with the COVID-19, it's like, what is he supposed to do? Not breathe, not walk, not touch, not what is he supposed to do? And like, everybody looking at him probably like, he caught it. But it's like, how could you blame him? Like, what did he do? Like, this is so horrible of a situation, man. But Oregon moves forward due to a postponement / forfeit of the game. From any of the games that I may have mentioned or things that you guys would like to talk about, I will let you guys get into it. I'll start with you first on this one, Barry. Any of these scores or games that caught your attention that you'd like to discuss?
Yeah, I mean, obviously UConn, one and done. Didn't really look good. Book night. You better come back to college because you don't look like you're ready for the pros. I just said it. I really don't care. Like I said, Syracuse looked good. You know, Boeheim, man. Oh my God. His son shot the lights out, and you know that zone is so hard to prepare for. You can play zone in practice all you want. And practice against it. You've never seen a 2-3 zone like Boeheim zone if you've never played it. So that's a tough one. I was happy for Rutgers, their first win over 32 years in the tournament. Now they draw a tough Houston team, so we'll see if they can move on. Like you said, Oregon, that was a tough one. I mean, I had picked VCU. I thought VCU could win that game, and Oregon moves on just because they had to withdraw, so that was a tough one. I think you mentioned it too. A tough break for Georgia Tech losing Moses Wright to COVID, a positive test, and Loyola Chicago gets the win there. So, that's a tough break as well. But, I mean, another takeaway, Gonzaga, Baylor, and I'm going to probably say Illinois too. They look legit. They look like they're going to be tough to beat. Michigan, they did what they're supposed to do. They got a tough draw tomorrow against LSU. So we'll see how that turns out. I mean, without their star guard, I mean, it's going to be tough for them. I got to say. But, listen, there was a lot of good games, a lot of good takeaways. Like I said, the Pac-12 kind of really showed up to play. You know, there were some shockers out there, like you said. I did pick North Texas. You know, Virginia, just they didn't show me enough this year. I picked I did pick UCLA, to be honest with you. So that was the one Pac-12 team I did pick. Other than that, you know, it's just a bracket buster. Texas, I had picked them to go to the Final Four. I don't know why. I just felt that, you know, that was going to be a dark horse. Yeah, one and done. So, you know, Ohio State and Texas, thanks for crushing my bracket a little bit there. But, I mean, that's the nature of the beast. So, we got some fun games today. It'll be nice to see. I'm looking forward to Syracuse, West Virginia. I'm looking forward to the other matchup of Texas Tech and Arkansas. I think that's going to be a good game. And I think Villanova at North Texas is going to be a good game too. I think that's going to be a solid game. So a lot of good basketball left to be played. It's always a fun time, TP.
Definitely. Eric, your thoughts on the games that have been mentioned, one that might have stuck out to you. I'll let you elaborate on any of them or, have at it.
Another one that stood out for me, too, was, we were here on the panel. We were high on San Diego State, so that was kind of shocking to me. Syracuse is a good team, so they move on, but for them to get beat as bad as they did was the shocking part to me. So I thought that was going to be a really good game, San Diego State coming out on top. And, of course, the unfortunate news, VCU. You know, we talked about this, the COVID affecting teams, and it's not fair for a team to, we had Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons having to miss games because of it. You know, it really affects the team. And we saw firsthand, this literally destroyed a team's hopes and dreams. So if I don't agree with the NCAA with this one, I do, but I don't. I understand they can't put the tournament on hold for the 2 weeks. That part I get. Maybe they should have did it for a few days, just postpone that game and see, retest them again, see the symptoms, do that, get another test in. But that, to me, is very unfortunate when your hopes and dreams are crushed before you even get on the court. So that to me is sad, especially for the seniors. You don't get to play the game. So that right there kind of stuck out for me. Now Oregon goes against Iowa, one of the powerhouses, which I think they're probably going to lose that game. I'm excited for the next round. USC, KU, Oregon, Iowa, Michigan, LSU, Colorado, Florida State. These are going to be some good games that I'm going to be paying attention to. USC, UCLA, Arizona State will be a good one. Or Abilene Christian, I'm sorry. That's going to be a really good one to see if Abilene can continue their Cinderella story. Syracuse, West Virginia, Rutgers, Houston, Oregon State versus Oklahoma State. That should be a really good one. Those are the games I'm excited to see. Timeless, and to see if Oral Roberts, could win too, because then that'll put a little more stock on their win against Ohio. Or it'd be better for Ohio State if they do win. But that was the biggest shocker of me so far, is Ohio State losing to Oral Roberts. Unacceptable, very unacceptable there. But that just shows you, like you said, this team was definitely overrated, and when it was time to perform, they couldn't perform. So, yeah, I'm looking forward for the rest of the tournament, though.
Yeah, and they do play Florida, so this should be an interesting matchup because Florida's actually, breaking out of their little funk that they had throughout the duration of the season. So we'll see if Oral Roberts can actually continue to prove everybody wrong, including myself. I apologize. I overlooked you because I was not aware of your situation. It's always a team that you think you've watched or covered a lot of what's going on in the college atmosphere, and it's just one team that's destined to just move on. And they did it to Ohio State, and Ohio State kind of playing that reluctant basketball, just thinking that they can just show up and win. Now you've been held to the fire. So I'm going to come back around and see how you guys feel about this. What game are you looking forward to today as matchup-wise? I'll come right back to you, Barry. Your thoughts on the games that are taking place today that you're watching across the board or that may have caught your attention?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned a few that I like. Texas Tech and Arkansas, I like that matchup. I think the Oral Roberts Florida game is going to be very interesting. I couldn't agree with you more. Like, I hate agreeing with the hero of the panel, you know, but listen, we didn't get Oral Roberts enough credit because we didn't see them. We just didn't see them. Like, you hear about them, you heard that they have the leading scorer in the nation, but you never saw them play. And then when you watch them play, I'm like, this is a basketball team. So, you know, respect to them. So, so I'm looking forward to that. I like Villanova North Texas just because North Texas was a Colorado team that I picked. I picked them. Like I said, I didn't like Purdue. I didn't like what I saw from them. I had picked Oregon State originally, and then I flipped it back to Tennessee. And I don't know why, because me and you talked about Tennessee not believing in them. And, you know, here we go. So there's always that 5-12 that you got to pick, and that was one. And I like Syracuse, West Virginia. That's an old Big East matchup from when the expanded Big East. So I it'll be nice to see those two go at it at 5:15 today. I'll be looking forward to those games. But, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, TP. Oral Roberts, watching them play a little bit, I think they can make it to the Sweet 16. I honestly do. I think Florida is – they proved something against Virginia Tech. They showed some grittiness and some toughness in the overtime. But I think Oral Roberts, they don't have that one scorer that you got to look out for. They got two. So when you got two scorers like that, it's going to be – you could pack in a zone and get one, but now you got the other one on the other side. They could give Florida some trouble, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're marching on. So I'll be paying close attention to that game. But to me, the big game that I want to really watch is Texas Tech, Arkansas.
Very interesting. Eric, how about you? What game or games may have caught in your eye for today's play?
Yeah, definitely the Oral Roberts game. I'm going to be watching that game closely. I think Baylor and Wisconsin will be a good game to watch as well, so I'll be paying attention to that. And just seeing if Villanova, this team, they look pretty good in their win, so I'm going to be watching that, see if they can continue to win. I have them in my bracket, beating North Texas, so we'll see what's going on. It's yeah, it's going to be a fun day. Tomorrow's the big games, though. Tomorrow will be really good to watch. So,
well, all of these games are big games to watch, but everybody's trying to get to the Sweet 16. So everybody dancing. We'll see if these Cinderella slippers fit or not. just looking at the spectrum of the games today, I'm looking at the whole list. So Loyola-Chicago-Illinois game is big because they're both from the state of Illinois. And seeing if their good luck charm works, if Loyola-Chicago beats Illinois, my bracket is busted. I will be done if their good luck charm works. And it's like, I can't even go against it. It's like, I don't even want to mess around with her. she's been doing that. Everything that she could for the past couple of years for this team, so I'm not even threatening her. Also, Wisconsin-Baylor, that's an interesting one because I know a lot of people were sleeping on Wisconsin, including myself. I put myself there. Wisconsin, the way that they closed out the season, I did not think that they deserved to be in the tournament. They got here. They're playing Baylor. They do play defense, but I don't know if they can slow Baylor's offensive attack down. But we'll see. They are more closer to home. Baylor's having to come up the country to come into Indianapolis. That's an interesting one. A definite matchup, and this is a Big East matchup. They stole this from us. They had to break the Big East up. Same on you, NCAA. You had to break us up just because of money purposes. Syracuse versus West Virginia. You got Jim Boeheim versus Huggy Bear. Both coaches I respect. I love Huggy Bear more, but I don't know the way that Boeheim has Syracuse playing. This is going to be a very interesting one. I can't wait to see how this goes down and watching them shake hands at half court because it's going to be like old times, partner, you know, and then them going to war. Texas Tech, Arkansas is also a good one. I don't know how I feel about Rutgers because Rutgers has played sluggish down the end of the situation, but they come up with a win. And playing Houston, and Houston's actually been playing good ball, so I'm confused on how I feel about that one. Houston is decently favored, and I feel like Florida can knock off Oral Roberts, but again, I'll be looking bad if Oral Roberts wins this one. Now that portion of my bracket is looking horrible, so I don't care how it looks now because it's bad. North Texas, Villanova. Don't laugh. It ain't funny. It ain't funny. I'm mad.
It's the nature of the beast, man. It's the nature of the beast, TP. Like, we always look at our bracket, and it's like, yo, this is it. This is the one. I don't know how I could have got a better bracket than this. And then after the first day, you're like, huh?
Yeah, that's the beauty of March Madness. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
You could go on paper like, Ohio State for sure going to beat Oral Roberts. Well, look what happens. And it's like that every year. You never know. And it's good to see because these lower teams, these lower conferences, they get in and play these powerhouse universities, and they find a way to win against the juggernauts. So, I mean, it's awesome to watch. It's March Madness is one of the, in all of sports, one of the best spectacles, in my opinion.
I'm telling you, man. Let me get back into this. So where was I right here? This is okay. So that was the Oral Roberts Florida situation. North Texas and Nova. I got Nova getting by, especially with the injury that they suffered. But crazier things have happened, especially with North Texas with their win. I can't just totally shoo in Nova, but at least Nova can help me save face, especially with the junk that I've been talking about the Big East. But there's only two teams left in the Big East. So North Texas. I can't even talk about North Texas. Villanova, hopefully y'all get y'all job done, and Jay Wright being the coach that he is, I'm hoping to help save my bracket, Jay. I need you right now. I don't even like cheering for you because I'm a diehard rival of yours, but I need you. I need you. And last but not least, we got the Oklahoma State matchup up against Oregon State. I feel like Cade Cunningham can actually help them take out Oregon State, but I've been talking about the Pac-12. They've been must have been hearing me. I don't want to talk as much until these games pan out because Karma's looking for me. Just like I was talking about LeBron, Karma's out there looking for me. All right, so those are the games for today. All of them have a good intrigue to them, especially the way that they went down. Okay, so I'm going to move. Unless y'all want to, do y'all have anything else before I get away from NCAA basketball?
Yeah, I would be remiss if I didn't elaborate more on my Huskies. I know you got in your 2 cents on Georgetown, who I picked to go to the Sweet 16, and Colorado just blitzed them. And you know, raining threes. When you're shooting threes like that in college, good night, Irene. There's just nothing you can do about it. I don't care what you say about the coaching. There's just nothing you can do. UConn looked overconfident. And if the Big East tournament wasn't the wake-up call, this had better be, because they looked like they thought that Maryland was just going to come in there and bow to UConn. I don't know where this arrogance came from, but they better take this off season to check themselves, because you didn't prove anything. You proved you're a good basketball team, but you didn't prove that you can hang with the big boys, because you got blitzed. And if they cut it to as much as, like, I think 5 points, book night, missed shots, missed free throws. He looked horrible in the second half. So, I mean, if you think you're a lottery pick, which I think he is, honestly, if you think you're ready for that in the pros, you got another thing coming, son. I think UConn, they got a class coming in. They should be able to rebound. I think they got some nice players, some size and everything. But listen, they got a lot to prove to me going into next year. If you think this was, you know, the end all be all, then one and done. If that's the best you got, then you got another thing coming. So. That's what I got, but you know, I think to your point, listen, Iona, you know, Patino one and done, just to get that team there is such a great lift for him as a coach, because he's one of the all time greats. He's a great coach. So you know, that's pretty much what I had those two guys, and I'm in, and one thing, you know what, TP, I gotta bring it up. It was news over the weekend, the disparity of the men's program amenities and the women's tournament program amenities, and I think they're rectifying that. But, go ahead.
I'm saying it was absolutely disgusting. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's like, at what point do you guys look in the mirror and say, you know what, you're doing it on purpose? I mean, listen, my aunt, she's a diehard UConn fan. She don't watch the Met. She only watches women's UConn basketball. So I get it every time I talk to her on the phone this time of year. She's like, don't bother me. I'm watching my girls. Don't call me in 2 hours. Like, that's, you know what I mean? So I know, you know what I'm saying? So to see this, it's disgusting, to your point, TP. You had to be in a room, in a committee, outlining these two tournaments, and you did this purposely. There's no excuse for it. I saw on one of the networks, somebody was kind of like, you know, they did it. It was called out. They're rectifying it and removed. No. It was a female reporter. I was like, no, you guys need to speak up because this is crap. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like the WNBA and the NBA where there's a disparity in the revenues that are generated by these two leagues. This is college where all the revenue is supposed to be shared and dispersed evenly amongst the programs, which it clearly isn't, because now you're talking about the women's had crappy amenities compared to what the men had. There's no excuse for it. I mean, you know, we know that, you know, football and basketball bring in a lot of the revenue, but that's not how it should be dispersed. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a clear oversight. It's disgusting. I'm glad they got called out on it. I'm glad somebody said something about it. They need to fix it. And it just goes to show you how as much as I love college sports, it's crap that like this, that, you know, these kids don't get paid. They take a sandwich from somebody. They get called out for it and get kicked out of school. You know, it's the haves and have nots. It's ridiculous. The system needs to change. It's disgusting, and I hate it.
And here goes the crazy part about this. It's interesting that you brought that one up, because I was talking about that this morning before we got here. On the other network, and I said they need to investigate further than just what they see here. We're lucky that there was a Caucasian woman that made the case, that made the video. Picture if it was an African-American or Latino female that felt a certain way, would they address it the same? And with that Caucasian lady actually making the video, she's a part of the crew being with the minority, so you get it. But now they have to address it, because I'm wondering if the same thing is held in standard for, like, field hockey or women's soccer, or, you know, sports where they don't have a heavily dominance of minorities being there. You know what I'm saying? So, or lacrosse, like, because, you know, there's men and women lacrosse, men and women soccer, you know. Well, field hockey would just be generally around women, but, you know, I want to see how this is being addressed across the board. This just can't be women's basketball. But it's disgusting that this is what's going on right now. And thank goodness that everybody's cell phone or smartphone has a camera, because this is getting caught. And even the players that are playing are identifying with it. So now the NCAA, your feet are to the fire. There's so many different things that you guys have had in question and just wiped under the rug or just let it be put over people's heads. No, you guys have to be held accountable at the end of the day. And I'm sick of it. Listen, this is still the same NCAA that told Des Bryant, you cannot play football any longer because Deion Sanders took him out to lunch. Deion Sanders took that boy out to lunch. Y'all told him he could not play football anymore. But this is the same group that said, here goes a rack of weights with like 8 weights on there and a table, and that's all you guys need to prepare for your games. Disgusting.
Yep.
Disgusting. And knowing how much millions of dollars you guys pull in, slap on y'all head, face, everything. And I forget your wrist and hand. Like y'all need to get a Bruce Lee slapping. Eric, I don't know if you've seen it. Eric, I don't know if you've seen it, but your thoughts on how the amenities were handled for the women's college basketball side of things in the NCAA.
I think the NCAA needs to change a lot of things. You know what I mean? They're, in my eyes, this is extortion and exploitation at its finest. The NCAA is making millions, billions of dollars off these athletes. You know what I mean? So there is time for a change. Like you said, Timeless, the time is now. These people, they should be getting paid. I know it's college, but they need to be getting benefits. You know what I mean? They're the ones generating all this money for the NCAA and all these universities, and it's not fair. It's terrible in my eyes. It's out of control. It's exploitation and it's extortion. It's almost borderline. Just because how much money now? If this was a non nonprofit organization type deal they were running, like it should be the way they're running it, but it's not. It's it's kind of on the same lines of the child labor laws. You know what I mean? These guys are putting in work. Yeah, they're doing it for their future potential NBA, stuff like that, women's NBA. But the fact of the matter is there's such a small percentage that actually get to the next level and make a career out of this. You know, they're all going to school for different things. But with that being said, they are generating profit for this company. It is. It's a business. It's a corporation. So they need to be taken care of their players, bottom line. And, like you said, Timeless, hold them to the fire because the time's now. It is a slap in the face what they did in my eyes.
I agree. Don't let up on them. I agree, TP. Like, I'm glad you said something too, because like, it's not right, and it's like, I wasn't mad. I kind of understood what the female panelist was trying to say. Like, you know, we all know that this is going on. We've been talking about it for years. Now it's time to fix it and move on. No. I think we need, in this culture, in this climate, we need to keep bringing it up, that it's not right. It's because you're right. Like, going to lunch with Deion Sanders and you're ineligible, but then you got all these boosters with hands out, handing out money. These coaches get million-dollar contracts.
Yeah.
Like, these schools generate – they're not a business. They're an institution of higher learning that are offering kids an outlet to play a sport while they're getting an education. So I understand that you're giving some of these kids an education for free, but then you're like an indentured servant. Like, what are you then? Like, well, you don't need anything. We're giving you free education, room and board to work for us, basically, to work. So, you know, it's a crap, ridiculous system. And I wish it has to stop. It has to change. I'm done with it.
Yeah, and they won't even allow these players to get endorsement deals and stuff like that, which is complete lunacy. You know what I mean? All hats off to them. If they've deserved that and these companies want to endorse them, why not? I mean, this is America. I mean, the land of opportunity, supposedly. But it's only the land of opportunity for that top 1%. You know, it's getting old. I mean, it's time to change the page, and something needs to be done. And we do need to have these talks. We do need to bring it up. People shy away from the truth too much, and that's why everything happens. Everybody just, like ostriches, sticks their head in the sand. Oh, this, you know, like, I mean, it's getting ridiculous all the way across the board. We need change, and it needs to happen now. But without people like us talking about this, and actually voicing to make it happen, nothing will change. So we need more people out there getting on board and talking about it and not being afraid to talk about it. That's the thing. A lot of people nowadays, and like Tom Cruise said back in the movie, you can't handle the truth. The older I got, you know, it's like, yeah, damn right, you can't handle the truth. People, for some reason, cannot handle the truth. They want to be in these distorted realities and facades.
I agree. I can't be more happy with the response that you guys are giving, man. And it's being noted across the board. And it's just looking at how much of these situations have probably been going on for years and nobody really spoke up and watching it happen on year's end. And the NCAA has been able to get away with it for years. And I'm getting like goosebumps right now because I'm about to talk about a movie that I watched. And it still makes me mad because of the time that it came around or the time that it was taking place. But it came out around the 90s or 2000s, and it's the movie called Glory Road, and it was the year of Texas Western's year of winning the championship, and a lot of the kids were from, minority, cities of that nature, and, you know, one part was one of the actors. I remember him as Hits. I don't know his real name, but he was on, BET, and he used to do songs and things of that nature, and a portion of the movie he got beat up in a diner bathroom by a bunch of, Caucasian men. And this is all a true story. This all happened. And it was like, where was the NCAA for them? Like, they were just the team supposed to handle that? Didn't they have to travel to these games? Like, what happened then, you know? and it's all up to the organization or the university to take care of it within house. Like, no, these are situations that you guys are able to address because you guys pull in millions of dollars with no finger pointing, no question, no accountability. Who's in your guys' face to address you guys and you guys are doing wrong? Nobody. What, is President Biden going to step up, or is it Trump, or is it Kamala Harris? Is it Congress? Is it Senate? Is nobody going to be there to watch you guys line the hell out of your pockets with money at the end of the day? And it's sickening. It's sickening. And then you know who suffers? The people that are out there being enslaved, modern-day slavery, whether it's the coaches, whether it's the players.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that, Timeless, because that is exactly what the NCAA is doing. This is a slave trade. It's absolute. There's no words for what they've done, and people have just stuck their heads in the sand, no problem, and watched the rich just continue to get richer. They put on the March Madness tournaments, they get all these sponsors and all this big-time money, the national championship games and all this stuff, all their bowl games, and they're just getting, I mean, massive, ridiculous amounts of money. But the players reap nothing for it. Oh, yeah, you get your little education. But the sad thing with that is to go to college, it is ridiculously priced, and it should not be that way. And they make the numbers, so it's nowhere near that price. You know what I mean? These are just numbers that they throw out here. So, you're getting a $100,000 scholarship for free. Well, that's fine and dandy, but when you look at the big picture, that is peanuts. That is like a dollar to the NCAA, what they're making in revenue. So, I mean, it's really not fair. And the fact that they bribe these athletes like that, and we all know, big-time athletes, and they're getting courted and all this and lied to. They're like, yeah, and it's just their assets. Here, you're going to come play and make us more money. We're going to put your name in lights, but you can't get anything for it. We are, but hopefully that'll help you in the next level in your life, which we all know that's a small percentage. So, and they're in football, you're risking your life, you're risking your health, and these guys need to be compensated for it. The time is now. I mean, people need to wake up. This isn't right, and it's been happening for years, and they get richer and richer and richer and richer because they have, I mean, who's getting all this money? That's what I want to know. Where are these guys, the chairman and all this? And we look at them. I guarantee you they're tied into the world elite. They're tied into that somehow with the bloodlines, and it's the same old song and dance, man. It's the same old song and dance, and it's time to change. It's extortion at its finest.
Okay. I feel passionate about it too. And this is across the board in almost every one of these scenarios. But the NCAA, it's time for you to clean this up. Enough is enough for it to go on decade by decade. And if we don't think about it, if we don't hear about the here and now, like a couple weeks or a week ago, a week after the dilemma, we'll forget about it, and they'll continue to do these antics. Okay, so I'm going to get away from this.
Yeah, it's like that story you just touched on, Timeless, about what happened at that school. Yeah, and what did they do? Oh, just stuck their head in the sand, like, it's ridiculous.
I hope you can just watch the movie Glory Road. Barry, have you ever seen that or heard about the story of Glory Road?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yes, I have heard of it. I don't think I've seen it. I think I've seen bits and pieces. I have to go back and watch it.
And the crazy part about it, it's a Disney movie, and they expose what was going on at that point in time too.
That's true. Absolutely.
So. Definitely a historical situation in the run that they went on and knocking off Adolph Rupp's Kentucky team. And the star of that Kentucky team was Patrick Riley. And it makes me look at Pat Riley different because it's like Pat was the star of the team, but Pat gets along with so many different, ethnicities and minorities and how he was able to run the lake show in L.A. and getting things to calm down in Miami and get championships there. And it's like how Pat was able to turn things around. And I don't know if he felt that way, the way that Adolph Rupp was, so much of a bigot back in the day, but, being able to show growth and turn things around and be a well-known figure across the country from California to Kentucky to New York to Miami Patrick Riley is definitely respected, and Pat, I salute you, even though you were,
absolutely,
you know, involved. You were involved in the movie on the other side of the spectrum, though, but it wasn't him. Well, I don't know how, you know, things were. I wasn't born, but just watching that movie, you know, it's incredible.
Yeah,
they'll
never tell you about that, too, what Rupp did, you know what I'm saying? Like, you won't, unless you really hear about it like you did, TP, like, it would, truth to power, man. It wouldn't have come to light.
Yeah,
right.
Of course not. They just it's all negative stuff. The good never gets shown. They don't want that. It's all about chaos, drama, and fighting. That's what they love to do. They kick them while they're up, kick them while they're down, but they're never going to show the light, you know, of the good what's going on.
Absolutely.
I think more or less it was, you know, the Adolph Rupp situation. He was one of the best coaches that they've seen in that early portion of college basketball, definitely. Right. So they're going to try and hold that name or narrative as best as possible, because at that time, Kentucky still is one of the you know, the blue-collar teams, you know. So they got to, you know, adjust this way as best as possible. Okay, so we are at the 30-minute mark. We have 30 minutes left until the show. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. This is why I don't like Barry Jordan. I don't like him.
I didn't do anything to you.
Yes, he did. Don't let Barry sit there with his little devilish grin and laugh, because he stole my receiver, and I'm mad about it. And Kenny Golladay signs a deal with the New York Giants, and I knew he was leaving after Detroit threw him a mega deal, and he didn't want it. He wanted out. So it was like, and this is right after watching Stafford leave, too. So now it's interesting that there are a good amount of good quality names on the receiver board in the NFL, but I did not want to watch Kenny Golladay being the youth at that receiver position, being a Pro Bowl receiver, and Detroit watching him walk out the door. But Eric, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on Golladay going to the New York Giants, and Giants having a clear-cut number one receiver right now.
Yeah, Timeless. I'm sorry to hear that for your sake. You know, I was excited to see him and Jared Goff pair up. You know, but the thing with Golladay is, you know, he has to be healthy. He's been injured the most part of his young career.
Every year in his career.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I see why Detroit, you know, wasn't putting too much stock in letting him go. So I get that. But so we'll just have to see what he does in New York. I trust that Detroit, now they got Goff, that they're going to try to bring in some more receiver help, but, you know, losing Golladay, they still have a few quality receivers, so it's not going to hurt them that bad, because, like I said, the guy has a problem staying on the field. So the Giants get to deal with that headache now. The Giants, they need some weapons for Daniel Jones for their sake. It was a good pickup. You know, they got him fairly cheap due to his injury history. Now, if he can stay on the field, that's going to be a really big pickup for him. But if they can't, he can't, then it's, you know, it's no big deal. So that's how I see it.
I want to get personal, Sports City, before I start moving this thing around the kitchen. I want to get personal. Detroit, I'm going to say this now, after that being said, with Kenny Golladay going to the Giants, you now have to work now. Finally, your management job is to work now. Not throw all of the money that the organization has and throw it to Barry Sanders and force Barry to leave, because you won't bring nobody there, because you're giving your star talent all of the money, not with the same situation that you gave Calvin Johnson all of the money. There's no receiver to go around Calvin. You just want to covet this guy. You now have to work. Not the same situation with Matthew Stafford, throwing him all of the money and don't have any pieces to put around him. Now you have to work. Kenny Golladay did not come back after you guys tried to throw him a good amount of money. You watched Marvin Jones go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. There is something going on with that management, but it's a new day. It's a new day. They got new GMs. Well, a new GM, not enough GMs, I said what it has, but a new GM, new everything. So you guys now have to work. Dan Campbell, I'm sorry, that this is the organization that you're running into and having to pick up the pieces on the fly, and I don't want it to be like this, and I know that your speech had me, like, puzzled. I didn't like the kneecap biting and taking chunks out of people. Like, I got to buy into it because I love my team. But now that management has to work for you to help you put wins together. But it's not about watching, oh, let's just give these guys $130 million, $200 million. No, heck no. Heck no. So watching this happen, I'm mad that we're not able to keep Kenny Golladay, but now this is a fair shot to start to line this team up and have a team instead of a one-gun superstar going to war with the NFL. Calling out of the state of New York, we got Mr. Controversy, a.k.a. James Greenwood. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling? Oh, I'm having technical difficulty, James. Sit still. I got him. Okay, how are you feeling this afternoon?
I'm feeling good, TP. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right now that I got that off my chest.
I mean, I hope you're not feeling like this is going to be a one-year turnaround. The Detroit Lions are going to be the worst team in the NFC North by far. That includes the Chicago Bears.
Wait. Did you hear me? Wait. Did you hear me say this is a one-year turnaround? Did you hear that happen?
I don't know. It sounds like you actually have hope for this season, and you shouldn't. You really should. Like, there's no hope going into 2021. 2022, 2023, maybe. Maybe we'll see how the draft goes and whatnot.
You better watch what you say on this airline, because this is the same airline that I said that mess about Tom Brady. What the doggone happened? The boy went out there and won four more Super Bowls. So you better watch out, because karma hangs around this line. She hangs around here.
Hey, I said that Tom Brady had at least two more in him. So I was still wrong, but I was a lot closer.
Oh, you want me to talk about what you were wrong with? Wait, do you want me to talk about stuff that you're wrong with, or you want to carry on?
You can. It's not much. It's not much. I'm usually right.
There's not much. What?
I get put on hold for this guy for controversy? Come on, give me a break.
Save you for laughs. I'm trying to save you for laughs.
But, no, like, this is to go away from, because the Lions are rebuilding. That's what they're doing. They need a complete restructure. Kenny Golladay, even if he wanted to sign a one-year deal with the Lions, it wasn't going to help them. So it's probably the best for both parties that that Kenny Golladay went out there, got his money, and got it from somebody that's not the Detroit Lions. The Lions are a multi-year rebuilding structure right now, and they really shouldn't be spending a lot of money on big-ticket free agents right now. That's just the truth of the matter. They should wait a year, wait a couple years, and get their house in order before they start looking at free agents. Because you spend when it's time to win. You don't spend to start a rebuilding project, unless you do something like what the Raiders did and spent $1 million on John Brown. Spend $1 million on John Brown. I give you the thumbs up on that signing. But overall, you're not spending big money in free agency when you're a rebuilding team. Now, the Giants, on the other hand, they are also a rebuilding team, but this is basically do or die for Danny Dimes. This is what this is from a Giants perspective. From the Giants perspective, they need to know what this team's going to be in the future. Do they need to go out there and find another quarterback, or do they need to trust in Danny Dimes for another couple of seasons? Because the structure changes. The structure changes going into year three and year four, and they need to make decisions on the snap to stay or go away. And so they're giving no excuses to Daniel Jones going into the future. They've got, when healthy, a top running back in the league. They've finally given him a couple of running backs. Tight end's probably going to be a hard issue, but it's a rare position in the league right now to begin with. Like, tight end just is not something that the league is in abundance of. You might see them, they might just get Pitts in the draft if he happens to fall to them and just round out that offense. But But who knows? But this is a pretty much a last chance agreement with Daniel Jones from the Giants' perspective. They've given them wide receiver. They've got some other pieces around him. It's never going to be perfect. It's not going to be a situation. You're never going to find a situation where every position is settled on any given offense, unless you're the Dallas Cowboys. So that's how I see that side of it ending up.
Okay, Barry, your thoughts on your boys pulling in Kenny Golladay and the future for the New York Giants and Danny Dimes having another horse to the stable?
Danny Bitcoin, Daniel Jones, needed weapons, and that's what he got. I mean, they got Kyle Rudolph now. They're getting Barkley back. They brought in Ross for a little speed, and they vetted Golladay. Your concerns are correct. His injury history, there was questionable character issues that was coming out of Detroit that you know TP better than I do. You know, with him saying, you know, liking the post that Patricia got fired. I don't know if that's a character flaw, but, you know, hey, it's not great. But, you know, and then not wanting to play because he wanted to get his contract and didn't want to risk it. The interim coach said that wasn't true, but it was out there, was floating around. So, I mean, listen, you know, they vetted him. They had dinner with him. And I figured if both sides had interest and if, you know, they liked what they saw, he wasn't leaving New York without a contract. He got his $18 million, didn't think he would get it. I think he got 1 year, 11 from Cincinnati, and I think a couple others were in the same realm, but the Giants were willing to pay. They had made some cap space. They were their target. Golladay was their target, and they got their man. So now you got a dynamic receiver on the outside if healthy. You got a tight end that can stretch the field. What does that mean? No more single high. You can play too deep against these Giants, the guys that can get down the field, and that should open things up for Barkley. So now Danny Jones, Bitcoin, has no excuses. They need to start winning. This is his third year. You know how it goes with a rookie contract. You have to start making strides in winning. They went from a dismal team to a 6-win team that could have made the playoffs if it wasn't for the Eagles quitting. So now, you know what? They have a shot. So that's yeah, we all know about it. So listen,
they could have made the playoffs.
Yeah, but the Eagles quit. Play back the tape. But listen, this is his third year, and now it's time to start winning. I agree with you, TP. You know, Detroit. I think it's time to put up or shut up. It's time to start, you know, building this team right. You basically stripped it down. You lost your two best receivers. You lost Jones and Golladay. You traded away your quarterback. You're basically saying golf. You're just here so you won't get fined. You're not here to win. So good luck in your future endeavors, kind of thing. So you know, we'll see what happens with him. You know, we'll see. In Detroit, they need to start. They need to start drafting, and they need to start. You know, building the proper team to start winning. I thought they were trying to do that with Matt Stafford. Apparently not. So we'll see where it goes from here. But the Giants need to start winning and putting it together, and Detroit looking to build and draft.
Yeah, we will actually see, and then stop watching them load up all of this money into one player and start spreading it around so you can have a team, not Michael Jackson and a Jackson 5. That's what they're used to doing. So I don't even get started
on
that.
But I just want to make sure that you're clear that that's a bad idea to throw a whole bunch of money into one position. Like, for example, let's just say a quarterback, like, for example, a Dak Prescott or something like that, and just throw too much money in that so you can't sign other players. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, has it worked? You tell me, has it worked?
It hasn't worked. You're right. It hasn't worked.
So why are you combating me if it hasn't worked? It's not been successful, and you're combating me.
I'm not combating you at all. I think you're 100% correct, TP.
Oh, okay.
That's a very wise statement, TP. You know what? Very wise. I appreciate you.
I don't believe them.
But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
I think controversy is being condescending. I'm just throwing it out there so I can, you know, so I don't get fined.
Oh, I get it. Listen, that's why he's laughing, because he knows he tried. He tried so hard. And just the fact that watching this year after year being the Detroit situation since as far back as I can remember from the early 90s, you know what I'm saying? This is always, especially when Barry and Emmitt were the discussion of the NFL at the running back position, and Emmitt was winning Super Bowls, but Barry was the guy. Even Emmitt says it, and then I still remember the contract. Detroit signs Barry Sanders for $55 million for 5 years. Barry said, and that was in 97, 98 came around, Barry said, I'm out of here. I'm like, wait, no, they didn't mean that, Barry. They did. Wait, don't do that. Just wait, come back here. Wait, don't leave. Like, don't leave. Just come back. I hope they can work something out. We can restructure. You can do something. Like we can get you some videos. We can get you some commercials, whatever you need. Barry was like, I'm leaving. I'm like, man, this dude. So then next thing you know, Megatron comes around, and the same thing happens. They signed him to 130. How do you make a receiver the highest paid player in the league? And as soon as Calvin left, they did the same thing to Calvin. It's like, wait, stop. It's not working. It's not working to do that. Like, don't get me started on these dudes. This is a giant topic, y'all. They are trying to pull me out of my skin to talk about these dudes. I do not want to talk about these dudes. This is a giant topic. I just said it. They got Kenny G. I'm mad that Galladay is gone. But hopefully they can pull it together and within the draft. I think they got to get a quarterback just to secure the situation if Goff is not good. They got to go get a quarterback. And I want them to get an early quarterback. They got to. They got it. As much as I wanted, Look, Devontae Smith, if he's there, go get him. But if he's not, and the one that I'm pushing for, if they could get Zach Wilson, but I doubt that Zach will be around. Get Zach. Let him learn from Goff, and then we could work throughout the draft. Even though I don't want to miss on Waddle or Smith, but to get a quarterback right now, while this is a heavy, interesting draft at the quarterback position, would be great for Detroit. But knowing them, they'll bungle this and go after a defensive end or a linebacker like they've already looked in mock drafts. I'm like, I don't even want to hear it. I'm hoping that they could do something different. All right, Barry, go ahead.
All right. Hey.
No, I was just asking, what pick do the Lions have in the draft?
Seven.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to get a quarterback unless you trade up.
There's a ton of quarterbacks. It ain't just Zach. There are a good amount of quarterbacks.
But, I mean,
there.
Those are the two. I mean, there's three, right? There's you're not getting Lawrence. There's Zach, and then there's Fields.
The other
kid from North Dakota, right? What's the kid?
Yeah,
name?
Trey Lance. He's agile, and that's the one thing that Detroit needs, because, you know, a lot of these quarterbacks that we're looking at thinking that their pocket's going to be there, and Detroit has a problem up front. Like even though Stafford would hang on to the ball, but if it's a quarterback that can make a move on the go, that's good. Then take the 3 or 4 yards that you can get. You know what I'm saying? Don't sit up here and just suffer a sack, or don't throw the ball away, Matthew Stafford, like that. No. do something better to the team. That was what I miss about Ben Roethlisberger. Like, Ben, if he didn't see nothing – Ben will go and pick up 3 to 7 yards and be in a good 2nd and 5 or 3rd and 4. Like, that's manageable instead of being 3rd and 11. Are they going to run the ball or pass the ball? What do you think? Come on. Like, get out of here. Don't get me started, man. Please.
Jared Goff, said in his when he got to the team, he said, this team is not in rebuild mode. I'm here to put this team over the top. So I want to see what you feel about that. And then he was going on about the new owner, Sheila Ford, that, you know, she's going to get this team going in the right way. So I just want to – do you think that brighter times are going to happen in Detroit now that, I mean, the new ownership, do you think she's going to be able to get the right people there and they're actually going to run this team to win and go from there?
Now she has to work. Like she can't just let the management just do what they want. That management's been put in a position where all of the good players are gone. Marvin's gone. Kenny's gone. Matt Stafford's gone. This is all new. It's fresh. It's open for her to get this management to get involved. And I know she won't probably be involved, but they got to work now. The Jared Goff situation, I am glad that he made that statement. I know that Detroit probably won't get to a playoff bid. If they do, then I'm stunned. They'd be great to see him do this. But I like that he's speaking positivity. You don't get Stafford talking his positivity in none of his interviews. Never. Never. You don't get this positivity. Yeah. Like, he talks like under his breath conversations. Like, he's a darling because he's a people person. Like, on the camera, he's a people person. If you met Matthew Stafford in person, you will feel the way that I'm feeling about Matthew Stafford. And it wasn't me that was addressing him that he caught that attitude with. It was somebody I was with that he got it twisted with, and this person is a huge Stafford fan. And I'm like, wow. If you treat people like this and they're in the state with you in Michigan, I don't even care. And then for your play not to pan out. So Goff, for his positivity that he has and knowing where he's been, he actually has playoff experience. He's actually pulled off playoff wins. He actually pulled off one last year going into the 12th man of stadium and pulling that off. Like, this, he got credentials. He's and it's relevant. And to go up against the likes of Aaron Rodgers and having a clean slate, I was tired of going into games up against the Packers and being like, Aaron Rodgers owns Stafford. Like Stafford can't go shot for shot with him. Never. The game that we won, it'll be like 15-10, 20-15. You got to beat Rodgers. Like, they got to be 31-27. Like, something got to happen because you know he's coming out shooting. You're not going to continue to get him to score twice and think you're going to win. Like, come on. Come on. Enough of this. I'm glad. Like I said, I'm down. Hey, Barry, you heard me. And I want James Greenwood to hear it, too, because I've said this before. I am down for the rebuild. Now the staff is gone. It don't matter how it looks. We're going to start from the ground up. If we catch it flying, then that's beautiful. But right now, I know this is a situation that we're going to have to suffer without Stafford that's been there before 2010, and this is all that they knew. If Goff could turn this around instantly, boy, I'm dancing in the street with Aretha Franklin. Like, you crazy? Like, I don't know. So,
well, they got a good pickup in Jamal Williams. It was good to get him from rival Green Bay, so I think that's going to help out. Him and Swift can be a nice 1-2 tandem. They just need to get a few wide receivers now.
See, I don't think they really had any real need for a running back. I think they had two good ones in the house. But what I really like from Detroit, and I haven't said this in a while, is I like their coaching staff. I don't know much about Dan Campbell as a coach. I know he's a Detroit Lions player, but I've heard a lot of great things about Deuce Daly as a running backs coach. Anthony Lynn was a good enough offensive coordinator to become a head coach. So he's good. I think he's more than good enough to run that offense. Mark Brunell is taking over for quarterbacks. There's only one guy left in the old administration as the offensive line coach, and then Antoine Redondo-Lell is a name that I know. I don't know what manner of coach he is, but he's the Lions have made a real change in their philosophy of hiring head coaches and got instead of guys who this is like their first time interacting with the position. They have gotten guys with experience at the position. So guys who were former wide receiver coaches, Don Capers is on the defensive side. I'm not sure about Aaron Glenn. I do not know his pedigree or not, but a lot of these guys are either former players or guys who have had big time coaching experience. So that is something that should be comforting to the Detroit Lions faithful.
Okay, I think I might have heard Eric trying to say something.
I liked his comment on that. I think they do have a really good coaching staff in play. Mark Brunell, really good. He was a great quarterback in his time, led the Jaguars, some great Jaguar teams. So I think that'll help. But I think they're set up really nicely for the future, Timeless, like we kind of talked on off air when this trade first went down. You know, this was a really good trade. People were looking at it like the Rams won on the deal. But in all actuality, I think Detroit won, especially if Jared Goff can be the player we know he can be. And because he's a lot younger, he's already been to the Super Bowl, he's been to multiple playoff games, has playoff wins under his belt. Matthew Stafford didn't have any of that on his resume. So I think Detroit won for sure. They just I'd like to see him get some more receiver help, and I think this team will be dangerous. So they picked up Brockers from the Rams. They got a nice defensive lineman. The Rams aren't going to be as good as we thought they were with their defense. They lost Brockers, and then they lost Sakeem to the 49ers. Those are two big parts of their defense. So that's a shot for the Rams. So, you know, I'm looking it's looking bright in Detroit for sure.
Okay, so we are at the tail end of the show, people. I'm going to need plugs and closeouts from each of you. But before I say this, right, if y'all don't think that these people or Karma be around this show, she is around this show, and I'm not lying. Loyola Chicago is up 33-21 on Illinois, beating the crap out of these dudes. Like, listen, if they beat Illinois, my bracket is done. You're laughing. You're laughing. My bracket is done. If Illinois
My bracket's done. Like, there's nobody with a bracket left.
Sitting right next to TC.
Ohio and Illinois are done.
That
old lady has a bracket down
in
Loyola Chicago, making it all the way to the finals.
Yo, if she went, if they went, I'm kidnapping her. Listen, I'm gonna kidnap her and feed her all type of food that she needs. I want to make sure I'm gonna make sure that she fed well, because I don't want no criminal background or nothing. I want, listen, you gotta be taken care of. I don't want you at the arena. You can watch her, watch them from Hawaii.
So TP, is it like hypnotized? It should be locked up in a Brooklyn basement, face it, not guilty.
I'm not playing. I'm not playing. She better go ahead. She better go ahead. Yo, Illinois, y'all lose this game. Okay, they come back, 33-24. Okay, so I need plugs to close out from each of you. I can't believe I'm watching this right now. James, you already know what to do, plugging your head in here, and you up here trying to get your Lions talk. You think you're something slick.
All right. Well, I always enjoy coming in talking football with y'all. The draft is only a little more than a month away, so that's what I'm excited for. Till then, stay funky, folks.
All right. You already know what to do, E. Let's go. Let's break this thing down and get up out of the brunch.
As always, a great brunch, gentlemen. Had a lot of fun. Had a good show today. Thank you to all the listeners. Check us out, sportscitychefs.com, power103radio.com. We will see you guys right back here tomorrow night for the Master Chefs edition of the Crossover Cafe. Everybody have a blessed day out there.
Last but not least, the villain, you already know what to do, bro. Shut this thing down.
I love you, TP. You're my brother, man. Listen, Power 103, thank you for rocking with us. Sports City Chefs, get to the website, the blogs, the merchandise. Get your merch. We got a lot of things popping there. Doing big things, man. Enjoy your Sunday. See you guys tomorrow. Talk to some hoops. We just got a lot of things coming up. Baseball's coming up soon, so look out for that show. We're going to keep it funky. We're going to keep it fresh, man. We out. TP. Love you. Villain.
Ow. SportsCityChefs.com, like they just mentioned. I don't even have to do the plug no more. They already do the rundown, interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Just like Eric said it, we'll be here tomorrow, chefing this thing up, Crossover Cafe edition. I can't even – they do enough of the plug for me that I don't even have to do it no more. Like, I'm trying. But it's this Sports City. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, I may fight with these dudes, but I love them to death. Now they know.
Sports City. Chefs. Sports City. Chefs. Sports City. Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chefs. Yeah. Cabbage. Taj.
Connecticut.